Welcome to the weekend edition of the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. Today's podcast features all the best segments from this week's slate of Undisputed. With in-depth interviews and discussions, we have a lot to talk about heading into next week. Skip, Shannon, let's get to it.
So Lamar Jackson may have all but locked up the MVP with another dominant performance on Sunday against the Browns. Down by six with under 2 minutes left in the first half, Lamar was able to find the end zone twice to take the lead, and he never looked back. The Baltimore QB ended up with over 300 total yards, three touchdowns on the way to a 31-15 win that locked up the number one seed for the Ravens, who now sit at 13-2. Michael Vick still with us. Michael, should the Ravens be a heavy favorite, honestly, to win it all right now?
Yes, I think so. And you're looking at the most consistent team around the league. You see other teams, they've shown forms of inconsistencies in, you know, one of the three phases of the game. And when you look at Baltimore, they've looked the same for all 16 weeks since the first game of the season versus Miami until yesterday. And Lamar just continues to get better, more comfortable within the offense. You won't need offense, you get offense, you need defense, they give you stops. You know, you need to play on special teams. And from what I've seen is that they can beat you with so many different guys. I mean, you got the tight end who, you know, beat the Browns yesterday in between the hashes. And they showed that they can beat teams in between the hashes. They don't even have to go outside. They don't come downhill and run at you. It's just the most consistent team that I've seen so far. Everyone else around the league is figuring their way out, figuring their way, you know, to, you know, the keys to success and what they need to do. The Baltimore Ravens are very comfortable right now with what they're doing in their system in all three phases of the game.
I think they should be favorite, but overwhelming favorites is something I'm going to give pushback on, Skip. Okay. I think the thing for me is that of all the teams that we think of, like, say New Orleans, San Francisco, them, Kansas City, the Patriots, I think they've been the most consistent. Game in, game out, week in, week out. You know what you're going to get from them, Skip. Even in the games they've lost, they've been able to run the football. Even in the game that Lamar Jackson got outplayed by Baker Mayfield, he still was spectacular. The difference was he turned the ball over. Now, they rarely turn the ball over. You would think as much as Lamar handles the ball in the mesh point in the backfield, he would have 7, 8, 10, 12 pump. He doesn't. And he's learning. Skip, he's getting 12 yards. I could get 15. Nah, I ain't going to take that hit. I'm getting out of bounds. Yeah, I can get another 5-6 yards. Let me slide and get down. So they've been the most consistent. I've never seen a team that can run the ball like they run, can possess the ball, and then lead the league in scoring. They can score just in the blink of an eye because they run, run, and next thing you know, Mark Andrews is splitting the seams, hitting his head on the goalpost. For me, I think San Francisco is still a major player. Skip, I don't know if you noticed this last night, but on Saturday night. Did you see that Saturday night? He picked up three 3rd and 16, didn't he? That's why Coach Belichick wanted to make a move. 3rd and 16.
Wait, Garoppolo? Wait, you mean the guy who had a QBR of 25?
Whoa,
Skip. He had a 25, a scale of 0 to 100. It's pathetic.
Whoa, your guy had a 26 in the Super Bowl. But all we, hold on. His guy had a quarterback rating of 26 in the Super Bowl. But what did he do? He won. Did Jimmy G win?
You still think?
I still think Bill Belichick's going to push Tom Brady out the back door after what you saw Saturday?
I stand by what I said, Skip Bayless. Okay. Look, they can run the ball and can control the clock because they're going to minimize your possessions. But they can be explosive. They've been the most consistent. I believe they should be the favorite, but I believe Kansas City could give them problems. New Orleans, with that offense, can give them problems. But the question is, because it just seems like even because Mahomes and Drew, they don't need a whole lot of time because the offense are so explosive. But I did see New Orleans get beat at home by Atlanta. I've seen them have games like, you're like, even yesterday, Skip, Tennessee. Now you get a 14-point lead. You got Derrick Henry. That might be a different ball game because now they really couldn't run the ball. Give them credit. I believe they should be favorite, but just not overwhelming favorites.
Okay. I don't know the injury status of Mark Ingram.
Correct.
He got hurt in something with his calf. I thought it was Achilles.
And he's in a boot.
So I don't know what's going to happen going forward. But if he's gone, let's do the hypothetical for the rest of the playoffs of the year. That's a huge loss.
That's huge.
For him because he has been, boy, you want to talk about thunder to Lamar's lightning.
Because it's plus, Skip. They throw it to him.
Catch it.
They throw it to him.
He caught the 12-yarder for the 21-6 touchdown that just broke it completely open coming out of the half. The other play that scared me yesterday, and just because we have Mr. Vic here, I want to show this one. This is 10:20 left in the third quarter. Lamar takes off. I don't know if you remember this play, and runs around the corner, and he could have run out of bounds. Instead, he says, I'm going to cut it up field.
Yeah, that was...
You can't do it. Oh. You just can't take a shot.
Yeah.
You're lucky it's a DB. Yeah. I think it's Demarius Randall.
Skip, you're the same. That's the play RG3 got hurt on when he was in Cleveland. He tried to take the guy head on. No, you got the first down. Get out of bounds.
Michael Vick, you know this. You can't do that.
No. That
angle's horrible if you watch
it. That looks horrible at high speed. It looks like a car crash.
And when his coaches watch this film today and they sit down and watch it together, they're going to tell Lamar. And they probably told him that on a couple of different occasions. But it's hard when you're playing so fast. The sideline is right there. You got to get
you got to. Thought his receiver's going to make a block for him, and he wanted to cut it up.
Right.
And all of a sudden, it's a head-on collision, and he's lucky it wasn't a linebacker. Mm-hmm. But still, that's no good. You're better than that. You got to protect for the sake of your team.
Right.
You got to protect. Because if you can stay upright and healthy,
they're going to be a tough out.
They're going to be a tough out. Now, I did tell you earlier that – they really struggled to start the half. But Cleveland has been their kryptonite because Cleveland went to Baltimore and beat them 40-25, and it looked like we were on the way to that for much of the first half yesterday because we have in a row, we got a four, if we could show the plays, but it's fourth and three at the 41. They'll go for it on fourth and three every time. And he missed Mark Andrews with a pretty easy throw, I thought.
Yes.
He missed him. Okay. And then we go to the lost fumble coming up next. And the mesh point you guys talked about, it just never happens. But it happened on that play, and that's a first. I don't think it's happened all year. And they gave the fumble to Lamar, but I don't even know whose fault it is. It's like a close call. I guess it has to go to the quarterback. Then they had a third and four and a third and six, and he missed receivers on both throws. So it wasn't great. It wasn't like perfect Lamar.
Right.
And this is the other third down. I think this is to Hollywood. No, that's the one out to... Yeah, here's the last one. And I don't know what they're doing. He went deep to Hollywood on this one, on third and six. Mm-hmm. So they don't have a point until a minute 18 left in the half. Yeah. They don't have a point.
Yeah.
And guess what happened? Explosion happened.
They get 14.
They just explode.
But Skip, nobody can touch their resume. Yeah. When you got the Pats, Seahawks, Niners, Texans, Rams on your resume as victories.
Nope. Nobody.
Big margin victory.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. They've beaten these teams by an average of 18 points. Let that sink in for a second. The Pats won their division. They're going to be 13-3.
Yep.
Seahawks, they just lost yesterday, but they're going to be 12-4 at worst.
Yep.
The Rams, we know the Niners, probably going to be the number one overall seed. And you got those on your resume.
Mm.
It lets you know, Skip, and that the way he – look, we knew Lamar could run. So basically what it looks like to me, Skip, he looked like he in college because that's exactly what he was doing in college when he won the Heisman Trophy and he followed it up his junior year and had a better year. That's exactly what it looks like.
Yep.
So I'm telling you, if you think you're going to just say, okay, we're going to stack the line. Mm-hmm. We're not going to let him run. His arm, he's confident enough that his arm is plenty good enough to beat you. But I don't believe you can do that. I don't believe you because you make one mistake. And that's the thing. We go all week, okay, you got this guy and you got that guy. And what happens? Somebody always try to do somebody else's job, and then he pulls it, and now he's gone.
Yep. Even more important, 2 weeks to prepare where the regular season is over.
Right.
And the playoffs is right around the corner. So, you know, the intensity is going to be heightened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mistake-free football is going to have to be at its height. And, you know, 2 weeks to prepare, you know, this team could be dangerous.
They're going
to
put another wrinkle in there.
But at the same time, they also have to keep their focus.
Yeah.
You know. Oh, he's going to play this week. I mean, obviously, because the Steelers have a lot to play for, Skip, because they get an opportunity to get that last playoff spot. They're fighting with the Titans. So he's going to play. Because, Skip, you wouldn't want – you can't sit him, Skip, and have 3 weeks off.
Yeah,
that's too much.
You want to stay in rhythm.
Really?
No, I agree. And don't look now, but he's got a legion of boom on the other side because that secondary it is so good.
The addition of Marcus Peters has been everything to this team. I think that was probably the biggest hurdle they crossed to take them to the next level.
Because you know what they did? What that allowed them to do? That allowed them to kick Marlon Humphrey inside.
They did. Absolutely.
So, and now kicked him inside and you put Carr at a safety position.
Yeah,
so you got a guy that's a former corner playing safety, and he could also play in the slot.
And Earl Thomas is Earl Thomas.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. Ooh.
Kansas City the only team not thinking AFC.
Really?
As of right now, that can give them a run for
that. You don't give New England any shot at Baltimore?
You know, it's a lot of inconsistencies there with New England. You know, they still got Tom Brady. I won't take that away, but Patrick Mahomes can beat you.
It's just hard to go against Tom.
And you can't be happy with what you've seen defensively Skip the last 6 weeks.
And Patrick.
Fair. No mercy. Rodgers and Tom Brady are having very similar seasons. Both have led their teams to 12-3 records and division titles. Both are averaging within 10 passing yards per game of each other and are in single digits for interceptions on the year. Each QB also has 3 games in which they did not throw a touchdown pass. So, interesting stuff there. Shannon, who's had the better season? Are you going to go with Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady?
It is not even close. I don't know. Skip Bayless tried to sneak this one, to try to finagle this one in, but I knew it. I knew eventually he couldn't let Aaron Rodgers have his moment because he saw what old A-Rod go on the road and win the division.
What moment? Oh, last night? Yeah. Oh, that was his. I thought that was his team's moment.
Now, Skip Bayless, you love QBR, am I correct?
Yep.
That's the gold standard, what you said about it.
Yep.
If you don't mind me asking, who has the higher QBR, Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady?
It's barely.
I don't know, barely.
54 to 53.1.
Skip.
Okay. I just said it.
Okay, say it again.
54 to 53.1, almost dead even.
No, no dead even.
Yeah.
Okay, completion percentage.
Go ahead.
Yards per attempt.
Yep.
Touchdown to interception.
Tell me when it's my turn.
It's not your turn just yet.
Well, you're asking me questions. No. Am I supposed to go or not?
Okay, no. Okay, they have the exact same record. They both won the division.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they're 12-3.
Yep.
Aaron Rodgers has a high QBR, high completion percentage, high yards per attempt, touchdown to interception ratio. And Rodgers did all of this without Devontae Adams. So in order to make this one...
Don't lie to the public.
How many games?
11 games he had Devontae Adams, including last night's game.
How many games did Tom Brady have Julian Edelman?
Wow. Devontae Julian. Let's see.
Okay, hold on. Now, Hall of Famer. Skip Bayless tell me that Julian Edelman is a Hall of Famer. He just won Super Bowl MVP.
High second-round pick versus low seventh-round pick. Interesting. Go ahead. Thank you.
Brady. Brady is 30th in yards per attempt. He's only ahead of Mason Rudolph and Mitchell Trubisky.
Mm-hmm.
Mason Rudolph got benched in favor of Duck Hodges, who was so bad they put Mason Rudolph back in the game.
Yep.
But here's the one, Jenny, that you're going to say, get my mic right here because I'm getting ready to drop it.
Oh.
Tom Brady is 27th in completion percentage. He's behind Mason Rudolph and Mitchell Trubisky. Drop the mic. Your turn, Skip.
My turn. Tom Brady has clearly had a better season than Aaron Rodgers because the QBRs are almost dead even, which is hard to fathom given the degree of difficulty Tom Brady has faced all year because he does not have a Devontae Adams. He has a potential. His name is N'Keal Harry, but he missed the first 8 games and he's barely getting into the rotation lately because just 2 games ago against Kansas City, he played 2 snaps in the game. So you don't even have that. Tom Brady has thrown to more receivers this year than he has in any year in his whole 20-year career. 17 receivers he's had to throw to, including Gunnar Olszewski, got targets and catches this year before he got hurt and went on IR, and I miss Gunnar.
Me too.
I think Tom Brady misses.
Was he an undrafted free agent?
Yeah.
Kind of like Kumaro.
Kind of like
Kumaro, undrafted free agent.
Yeah.
Kind of like Geronimo Allison, undrafted free agent.
Was Aaron Jones an undrafted free agent?
Fifth rounder.
He's fourth.
Hold on. Sonny Michel, what round did he get drafted in?
Yeah.
First round pick. Aaron Jones, fifth round pick. Come on, with it, Skip.
So Aaron Jones has the 4th most catches on the Green Bay Packers because he is lethal coming out of the backfield.
What about Sonny Michel?
And I have to find Sonny. I have to go all the way down to 12th on the list of New England Patriots catching passes. 12th?
What about
4th versus 12th? Are you kidding me?
No.
Now, let's talk since it's my turn.
Okay,
thank you very much. How about passes of 10-plus yards? You want to talk about game managing? You want to talk about dinking and dunking? Because Aaron Rodgers is way down at 24th on the list of completions of 10 or more yards.
Uh-huh.
Are you kidding me? And Tom's not much better. He's 15th on the list, but he has 9 more than Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, so we don't admit
that. But it's 15th to 24th. And then how about 20-plus yard throws? Tom Brady's been pretty good this year on 20-plus because he's got 57 of those to only 47 for the transcendent thrower of the football, Aaron Rodgers. Are you kidding me?
Think about this.
He's a game manager.
So let this sink in.
Dinking and dunking.
Your guy has 10 more throws of 20.
Ooh.
He has 9 more throws of 10, but he's 30th in yards per attempt. So let that sink in for a second. So other than that, he's dinking and dunking. But this is what I want to take it away with, Skip, baby.
It's still my turn. I think I just got completely interrupted, and I got to reclaim some time, please. Thank you.
Time is yours.
Throws for first downs. Tom Brady has 185, so he is still clutch. When it's time to make that throw to Julian Edelman or sometimes to undrafted rookie free agent former quarterback at North Carolina State, Jacoby Myers, Tom Brady is on the money because he is still money. 185 for first downs to Aaron's 171.
Oh, Skip, you make it seem like it was 295 to 10.
Okay, but
stop it.
14 more first downs. Those add up over time, I would say.
Well, Skip, they ain't got much time. They only got one game left. So how big a gap do you think they're going to be?
Tom Brady has worked miracles because do you remember this guy named Jimmy Graham? I don't know.
He's Skip Bayless, Jimmy Graham hadn't caught a touchdown in the last eight games. Lacoste just caught one. Jimmy and you keep talking about Ben Watson, 38. Well, we got a guy named Mercedes.
39.
Okay, and we got 39. Mercedes Lewis. Yeah. And he's not a 2020 Mercedes. He's, yeah.
The lowest catches by any tight end core in the whole National Football League belong to the New England Patriots. They went from Gronk to what? To a 39-year-old plus Matt Lacoste, who caught a touchdown pass against Buffalo, plus Ryan Izzo, who's now on IR.
Didn't you hear what Cooper Rowe say?
Woo.
There's no next man up for LeBron. There's no next guy up for Gronk.
So, wait, Jimmy Graham or Benjamin Watson at 39? Help me out.
Mercedes
Which
Lewis.
Way are we going?
Hold on.
Which way are we going?
Skip, I gotta get this point in. Because this is the thing that you beat Aaron Rodgers. You had him just hitting him over his head with it. Mm-hmm. I like, Skip, don't hit him no more. He can't take it anymore. Mm-hmm. Throw rays. The guy that leads the NFL in throw rate is who, Skip Bayless? He has 45. Mm-hmm. He had 30 all of last year. So he has a 50% increase. Mm. Your guy. And see why you're
I've got 37 to 29.
No.
I'm just looking at what
You got it wrong. But that's okay. Yeah. I don't even care about that. Last year, your guy was top three. Mm. So the past two years, what you killed Aaron Rodgers for, you make it seem like your guy was not even on the radar. He was
what
top
three. What have I tried to teach you? Two kinds of throwaways in the National Football League. Two ideas happen when you've got the ball in the pocket. If your pocket collapses because you probably have the worst protection over the year that any quarterback has had, you have to get rid of the ball quickly so you don't take a sack. Aaron Rodgers stands and has time, and when it's going to be a coverage sack because he's had 5 seconds to
like
look,
Tom Brady.
He says, you know what? I don't want to have an interception because it looks bad on my resume, so I think I'll just throw it in the third row. Those are those kind of throwaways. They're cheap throwaways because they're gutless throwaways by Aaron Rodgers. He doesn't want to take a chance. Tom Brady, with no help, no weapons, even by your admission, he's had no weapons all year.
He's got
a beat-up little Julian Edelman at 33. Are you kidding me?
But you keep talking about all these. But if I'm not mistaken, Kumaro, Lazard, and Allison is all the same as, what you say, Gunnar Olszewski.
Mm-hmm.
Drafted free agents. That's what he's throwing to.
Guess what? Last night, Aaron Rodgers threw 16 balls to Devontae Adams, former second-round pick. 16 balls, and he caught 13 for 116 yards.
Skip.
Whoa.
Skip, we just saw 2-3 weeks ago, he threw 14 balls at Julian Edelman, and he threw another 12 at James White. So stop doing that.
James White's like 5'8". Are you kidding me?
Hold on. He was 5'8". If you don't mind me asking, who has caught the most passes in playoff game history? In a playoff game.
Tom Brady makes everybody.
Not Tom Brady makes everybody. You see what I'm saying, Jimmy?
Well, he's got to work with that, and he made him a star.
And he
made Julian Edelman a star.
Hold on.
Julian Edelman played quarterback in college. I just want to know one thing.
Hold on. Now, you see what happens, Jenny. Now, when things are going well, Tom Brady made everybody a star. But the moment that it doesn't, he doesn't have help. Make him a star. That's what Tom Brady does. He's the Clyde Davis.
What did the Hall of Famer Shannon Sharp tell me all year long? He's got no weapons. Okay, who has the bottom of the list, 32nd in separation this year, receiver separation? What happened when they went out and got Mohamed Sanu? Shannon Sharp said, he's a bust. He can't run anymore. Aha!
Skip, I don't understand why they got him.
So you went from Gronk and Antonio Brown and, wait a second, Josh Gordon? You had all three of those guys?
You just told me.
And you went to the Gunnar Olszewski?
I go to Clive Davis to make me a star. Yeah. I go to Quincy Jones to make me a star. Make me a star. You said Tom Brady can make anybody a star. Make them a star.
It took him a while, and Saturday evening, he did it.
Oh, Saturday.
He made him the star. He had an 85 QBR.
So what about the other weeks?
Ooh.
What about the other 10 weeks when you were complaining? You come out here crying and wouldn't let me talk, say you were bored. I try to make good points. You couldn't bite my head off. off. You bite my head off,
well,
Skip.
At least I don't interrupt you. That's,
you know, oh, you know. Oh, you don't interrupt me. Okay.
No, I don't. I try
no one's
finish.
Perfect around here every time.
Yeah. You know, and I know, Tom Brady's had a miraculous year working with no protection and no weapons.
Yeah, I didn't say he had a
They still
year.
Won the division, and the defense is starting to fall off the cliff. The really? Defense is, and when push came to shove, the game of the year, Tom Brady played much better in his game of the year than Aaron Rodgers played in his game
hey,
of the year
what,
last
Jenny?
Night.
A defense fell off a cliff, and four cracks and goal to go. What happened?
Okay. What
the
happened?
Defense stood tall.
Okay, last Saturday evening, Tom Brady faced the number two scoring defense in football, much better to me than Minnesota's defense has been this year, all year long. And he had a QBR of 85 against that defense. Last night, Aaron Rodgers was at Minnesota against a very good defense, but had a QBR of 34. These are their games of the year to clinch
if
the
you division. Don't mind me asking.
Games of the year, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers.
I see what you're trying to do.
Tom Brady,
so
Aaron Rodgers down
asking,
here.
If wow. you don't mind me asking, when Tom Brady faced that defense on the road, what was his QBR?
Well, who won the game?
Okay.
Who won the game?
Who won the game last night?
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers won the game.
Well,
you see what you're trying to do?
The defense and Aaron Jones.
Oh.
If Tom Brady had an Aaron Jones, look out above. Here he would go.
Oh, Skip Bayless.
Well, Aaron Jones is the MVP of the Packers. Clearly.
So who's the MVP? So who's the MVP? Stephon Gilmore?
Huh.
Is Stephon Gilmore the MVP of the Patriots?
No.
Come on, talk to me, Skip.
He was for about two-thirds of the year, and then he got beat again the other day.
Oh, so it's okay. So hold on.
I
Tom Brady's
starting to.
Hold, Tom Brady's throwing interceptions.
Yeah.
Are you docked him for that?
Hmm.
Tom Brady is 30th in completion percentage. But hold on.
Did he throw an interception against Buffalo the other day?
Hold on.
Game
how
two?
You, Jenny, how you going to be considered better than Tom Brady when you behind Mitchell Trubisky and Mason Rudolph in completion percentage? Skip, you ought to be ashamed of yourself
That's
defending
tough.
That.
That's
you
crazy.
Defended that.
Wait. Aaron Rodgers is 24th in passes of over 10 yards? This is the guy, the greatest thrower of the football Shannon Sharpe has ever seen.
Your guy,
and he is in decline.
Your guy is 30th in yards per attempt.
Yeah.
Only two guys are worse, Mason Rudolph and Mitchell Trubisky.
Oh, mm.
Yeah, my bad. And your guy is behind them, Skip.
Mm.
Your guy's behind them in completion percentage.
You
Mitchell
know,
Trubisky and Mason Rudolph.
You know, Aaron Rodgers did go along for a great ride this year.
That's what Tom Brady doing right now. He did it in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Got him a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Got him a Super Bowl.
Yeah, when he completed four straight passes for a touchdown. Oh, okay.
Hold on. So Aaron Rodgers had no completions last night.
Mm.
Damn. I could have sworn I saw him throw some sweet ones.
Mm.
Had some sweet balls. And what happened? Fumble. You remember what you call him? Devontae got it knocked out.
Okay, that was one of the 2 for 11 that he was on plus 10-yard passes, and Devontae got stripped. Way to go, Shannon.
Way to go.
Shannon,
this
you
got to
face the facts.
You do.
We could go
one
on
guy
day.
Is in decline. And by the way, I got to bring this last
what?
Point up. The Green Bay Packers would have home field advantage if Aaron Rodgers hadn't screwed up the last play against Philadelphia. And if he hadn't screwed it up, my team might be the division champs right now because he had little Darius Shepherd, the little rookie from North Dakota State. He had him wide open in the flat, and he forced it to Valdez Scantling. What a terrible throw that was. Who is double covered because they blew the defense and left Darius Shepherd wide. So what is happening? He could have underhanded it to Darius Shepherd. They win the game. They beat Philadelphia. And look, Philadelphia is dead right
think
now.
Think about it. If Coach Belichick's defense don't stand on their head, they can't win.
Yeah.
They can't win.
Oh, well, boy.
Any game they give up more than 14 points.
You know what?
It's the first time Sunday.
Yeah. Saturday. Buffalo knocked them on their head, and Tom Brady overcame it.
And what'd he do?
Way to go, Tom.
Fourth cracks on goal-to-go situation,
yep.
And the defense stood on their head.
Mm. Gunnar Olszewski.
So hold on. When Tom Brady went toe-to-toe with an L-Jack, what'd he do?
Mm.
When he went head-to-head with Patrick Mahomes, boys, the defense said, we struggling. We done carried you thus far, Tom.
By the way,
now carry us.
The leader of this team is Tom Brady, who actually threw a block on Saturday evening. He went downfield and he knocked Tre'Davious White off his feet. It just shows you that's the kind of commitment that Aaron Rodgers does not have for his team. He's not
you're
the leader of that team.
You put your quarterback in harm's way. You put your quarterback in harm's way, Jenny.
Look at that. He knocked him off his feet. Can you believe
because,
that?
Here's the thing.
Can you believe Tom Brady did that?
No,
you don't think that electrified the sideline?
You do know Ooh. Defenders watching that.
Wow.
So next first chance they get, they're going to knock his block off.
Good.
Or
okay. Have at it.
On the sideline.
Nope.
This
42
is
42 years old. Thank you.
I could watch that. Young, that guy. No mercy. Heisman finalist Chase Young is preparing for the college football playoff semifinal as his Ohio State Buckeyes face the Clemson Tigers. Young is expected to enter the NFL draft after this season, and many experts have as the top prospect. With their loss on Sunday, the Cincinnati Bengals locked up the first overall pick in the upcoming draft. And we're now joined by Fox college football analyst Reggie Bush. Good morning.
Good morning. Merry Christmas. Being here on the holiday.
Appreciate it. Reggie, you have spent some time around Chase Young, covering him all year. Yeah. Should he be the number one overall pick?
I think he should be the number one draft pick. And I think he will be the number one draft pick. He is the most dominant player at his position in all of college football. When I think about Joe Burrow, who won the Heisman Trophy, he very much may be the first quarterback taken, as he should be, but you also got Tua Tagovailoa that's coming out this year. Justin Herbert from Oregon is coming out this year. And even Jalen Hurts is coming out this year in the draft. And I think a couple years ago, people might have questioned whether Jalen Hurts had a future in the NFL, but now seeing what quarterbacks like Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, and Lamar Jackson are doing in the league.
Agreed.
Now is the time for dual-threat quarterbacks to come out. Even at the receiver position, right? Jerry Jeudy's coming out, but you also got CeeDee Lamb. But when you talk about Chase Young, it's him and it's only him. There's nobody else. I think about the game against Wisconsin. He had four sacks. To me, the most impressive part about that game is that he actually should have had more sacks. He actually had about two or three more sacks that he left on the table. And so for Chase Young, he has the size, he has the speed, he's built kind of like a DeMarcus Ware. He has a great first step, his get-off is unbelievable, uses his hands well. But the one thing that I think that makes him elite and that separates him from the rest is his ability to go 90 degrees once he is at the same level as the quarterback. And when you think about that, for quarterbacks are taught to step up into the pocket, right, when the pocket, when defensive ends are rushing past them. But if a quarterback steps up, Chase Young is meeting him right there. He's collapsing that pocket. And that's the thing that makes him different. Urban Meyer, we broke this down on our show when we were at the Wisconsin game against Ohio State. We did a breakdown of this. But when he gets to that second level, when he gets to, when he's at the same level as quarterbacks, there's nowhere for quarterbacks to step up. And that's the thing that makes him elite. That's why people compare him to the Von Millers, the Khalil Macks, because day one, he's going to be able to play right away. He's going to elevate the play of guys around him. He's a generational type player, and I don't think he's a guy you can pass up on an NFL draft.
Well, if he, if there's a quarterback not close, because even though you mentioned Von Miller and Khalil Mack, you're not taking him over Aaron Rodgers, you're not taking him over Drew Brees, because Skip, for me, I'm always going to lean towards the guy that can score the points. Because at the end of the day, it's about putting points on the board. And Chase Young is not going to look, Skip, I got to do something to arouse that fan base in Cincinnati. And I know Chase Young played at Ohio State, and I get all that.
Right.
But defensive players, Skip, I mean, look, they sell a little bit, but it's a quarterback league. They don't put the rules in place. So they don't have any rule that says, okay, we want to protect the defensive lineman's knees. We want to protect his head. They put all that for who, Skip? The quarterback. Because they want him on Sunday to be out there. And more times than not, when the quarterback, the starting quarterback is not out there, your chances of winning goes down and the fans are not nearly excited. Skip, if let's just say for the sake of argument, he's the highest rated player. And Joe Burrow is, say, slightly below. You take Joe Burrows because you take the quarterback, Skip. You got to have the quarterback. If I'm building a friend, look, Ndamukong Suh had his dominant season, senior season, as anybody I've ever seen. And they took Sam Bradford because he was the guy that could score the points. And more times than not, Skip, that's the way they're going to lean. Now, Jadeveon Clowney came out. He was number one. But there's really not a quarterback. I mean, you know, Johnny had all his issues going on, Skip. I think, didn't Johnny come out with Jadeveon? If I'm not mistaken, I think he did come out. Because that's when John Gruden said, I would take Johnny number one and I wouldn't look back. And he'd have been fired as soon as Johnny didn't show up to work that day. We know why, Skip. But I would not take Chase Young. Not if it's close. If there's a quarterback close, and I don't know if it's going to be Joe Burrow, I believe Tua would have been the first quarterback had he not gotten injured.
Wow. I agree.
But somebody's going to get a great quarterback, Skip, because that that hip injury is going to knock him down. And guess what? I believe the Miami Dolphins are going to be right there to fair catch him as he lands in their laps. But I wouldn't take Chase Young, Skip. I'm going to take a quarterback because I want a guy that can score points.
Let me ask you this question. If Cincinnati's on the board, right, they got the number one draft pick, right? Who? What quarterbacks are in that division, right? Lamar Jackson, Big Ben. You got quarterbacks that can move, that have proven to be really good. So Listen, I know people are kind of are off of Andy Dalton, but you don't have to be aggressive in the NFL draft because you have a quarterback that has put up numbers, right? Has he been consistent? No, he has not. But you need a defensive player in that division to get after these quarterbacks.
What happened in your draft?
They took the defensive end. Defensive end went first before me. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Mario Williams.
You're right, Mario Williams.
And Vince Young.
Were you surprised by it at the time?
I was surprised by it at the time.
Were you angry by it?
You know, I was motivated. Yeah, I wouldn't say I was angry, but I had a chip on my shoulder, and it was even bigger after I wasn't the number one draft pick.
Back to Mr. Sharp.
Yes.
Table for me. In 2016 on this show, you made the case that J.J. Watt was the most valuable player in all of pro football. I said, no, it's a quarterback game, but you said no, JJ was. Yes. Okay, so have you seen the light on that one?
No, Skip, I'm just Skip.
Okay, then in 2017 and 18, you made the case that Aaron Donald is now the most valuable player in all of football.
Yeah. Skip.
You've seen the light because they don't score points.
No, but I'm just Skip. You base it on what you've seen. Now, granted, if you take Aaron Donald's best season and you take it against any quarterback's best season, say Peyton, Brady's, or any of the best seasons, even Aaron Donald with 20 and a half sacks, you taking the quarterback because even though he had the sacks and maybe prevented some, he didn't score no 50 touchdowns. He didn't prevent 50 touchdowns. Mm-mm. So when you look at it like that, like I said, Skip, if it's close, like if Chase Young is here and Joe Burrow's here, will you take the quarterback? I would.
So I am, to your point, more sold on what I've seen from Joe Burrow than I am on what I've seen so far from Chase Young. I like Chase Young, but I don't love him yet. I'd like to see the one more big stage game.
Clemson.
That's true.
Because this will be a test.
Yeah, this is it.
And I don't know if Dabo was blowing a little pregame smoke, but I saw him say the other day that Ohio State has a great defensive line, not just number two. He said, I think their entire defensive line is pretty special. They're deep. They're physical. But obviously, he concluded number two is the show.
He's the special player,
Okay, he's the special player. But let's think about what he just said. I think he's trying to make the point that is he somewhat a product of
so many other guys
across, being great. Because they're all pushing their guy back into the quarterback. Yeah. And so far, maybe Chase Young will grow up at some point, but he's more quickness than strength. You know, I don't see the terrorizing strength that obviously Lawrence Taylor finally had where he could just throw people out of the way.
Watch that Wisconsin game again. Okay. He threw a couple guys to the side.
But then I watched the next Wisconsin game and he threw nobody aside because they figured him out.
Yep.
And I saw the Michigan game and it was a rout, but Chase Young, I'm just watching TV. I don't watch coaches tape, but he didn't flash one time in the whole Michigan game. And again, you all know the Michigan
game. And you were 100% right on that because one of the things that Michigan did was they kept sliding the line to him. And so that's the ultimate sign of respect because when you're sliding the whole offensive line to one guy the whole game, there's gonna be ways to anybody can be stopped at some point.
He strikes me, Skip, as an angular guy, and you're right, he is bendy, but he strikes me more of a speed guy. I'm telling you now, with these guys, these tackles are good, they'll just push you up the field.
Yeah.
You better come with a change. Right. And the thing is, you gotta be able to bull, you gotta be able to rip.
You have to have some bull rush.
Yes.
Or you won't survive if you're all quickness. Because Von Miller, he's got powerful legs. He developed some where he can shock you with a bull rush and knock you backwards.
Yes. And that's what Khalil does. I mean, they run you up the field. You start sitting light. Okay, you about to go up the field. And the next thing you know, they run slap over the top of you, and they're in the quarterback's lap.
If I'm Cincinnati, to your point, you can look at glass half full, glass half empty. I get you need a pass rusher to negate those quarterbacks in your division.
You got to score
a quarterback. You got to be able to score with them. You got to be able to try to match them.
Yeah.
Joe Burrow is really, he is shockingly better than he was a year ago.
Yeah.
He's so athletic. He can run now.
Yeah. He can run. And he's already running an NFL-style offense. They're running the New Orleans Saints offense.
Right.
That's the offense they're running.
I know they
LSU.
Got three really good receivers, but, man, he does not make bad choices.
No, he doesn't. Right.
And the thing is, Skip, at the end of the day, if you look at it, when you beat Peyton Manning, you had to score points. Mm-hmm. You beat Tom Brady. You're not beating Tom Brady 13-10. You got to get to the 20s. You got to get a quarterback that can get to those magic numbers.
You do. Yeah. Rex did the best job against him of holding him down.
Right.
And they won with Mark Sanchez a couple of times.
I mean, somebody to point out, too, if he went number two, he is from D.C. He's from the Washington area. He'd be back with Haskins. He'd be back with McLaurin.
That's a good point.
And, I mean, that would be a pretty ideal situation
it would
for
be.
Him.
Right.
And they have a pretty good defensive line.
Already.
you get, well already, get Ryan Kerrigan.
Yeah, him and Ryan Kerrigan would be great together.
And the two guys from Alabama inside?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's
yeah.
a difference maker. Mm. I've spent a lot of time with him over the years, and really his progression since he was a freshman, it is really special to be around. He's a difference maker, and he's a leader, and the guys respect him just incredibly well.
No mercy.
Kawhi and the Clippers beat LeBron and the Lakers for a second time this season, winning 111-106. Lakers led by as many as 15 at one point, but Kawhi scored 11 of his 35 points in clutch time, the fourth quarter. Then there's Patrick Beverley forcing a LeBron turnover at the end to seal the game. LeBron struggled from the field, missing his first seven shots. He ends up 9 of 24, and his 10 missed threes were a career worst, and certainly a contributing factor. Mm-hmm. Shannon, if you had to choose the best player on the planet right now, who would it be?
LeBron. I'm not just going to look at two games. I'm going to look at the complete body of work. No guy that's missed a quarter of a season can be considered. There's a reason why they didn't give Carson Wentz the MVP. He missed the last three regular season games. He was leading the NFL. He finished, I think, if I'm not mistaken, one touchdown behind Russell Wilson. Had, 4,000 yards? And he didn't win the MVP. You can't be considered the best player in the NBA playing a quarter of the game. Stop that, Skip Bayless. Look, I'm not going to cherry pick and say, okay, you see what he did last night? Look, their numbers are pretty similar. Both are averaging about 25 and a half per game. Both at about 6.5 rebounds per game. But LeBron doubles him up in the assist total, 10-5. I think they're kind of shooting maybe comparable. Kawhi is way better from the free throw line, so I'm not going to even sugar. I think Kawhi is shooting 87%. LeBron is shooting like 68%. To all of a sudden now, after two games, to say this guy, if you said, okay, you can have one guy to start a team with right now, I'm still taking LeBron. LeBron is better than Kawhi. I'm taking LeBron, and I'm not going to just say because Kawhi's had two outstanding games against the Lakers, but the body of work and what LeBron has been able to do in, 24-7 now, in 30 of the 31 games versus Kawhi that's missed 5-6 of the games. No, I'm not saying Kawhi is better. Kawhi is not better than LeBron, and the best player in the world is still LeBron James.
Okay, my turn. Before I get into my argument, I got to pay homage to this guy. This used to wear number 35 for the Golden State Warriors. He's now, I think he's with Brooklyn, but I don't know, maybe he retired because he is out of sight and completely out of mind, and nobody discusses Kevin Durant anymore. He, as long as he's still alive, and I think he's still alive, is the best player on the planet. Yes, he is. He proved it in not only back-to-back MVP finals, but in that little flash that we saw him last year before he fatefully tore his Achilles tendon. Did he not just turn the whole game and it looked like series around?
Skip.
He's the best player on the planet.
He's playing with another two-time MVP and Kate and Draymond and Clay.
They begged him to come.
Yes, right? They did.
They begged him, and he turned their lives around.
Right.
He went to LeBron's house two straight years and said, in your face, literally.
Well, why did he do that with why didn't he do that with OKC?
Well, did you see what happened to James Harden last night or yesterday at Golden State?
Okay.
That's what kept happening to Kevin in Oklahoma City. Russell Westbrook kept getting in his way.
Whatever.
Well, he did. Okay. But he's out of sight, out of mind. Now I got one other disqualifier here to this. I watched a game yesterday between Philadelphia and Milwaukee in Philly. And I was in awe once again of a guy that I picked this year before the season started to be the MVP of this league. And his name is Joel Embiid. And for whatever reason yesterday, and I can tell you what I think the reason was, he woke up and said, you know what? Today I'm going to play. When he decides to play, he is the best player on this planet.
No.
He can dominate both ends the way nobody can because he's the guy who's 7 feet tall and can make threes. He's making 33% of his threes. LeBron's now at 34%. So I don't know. It's kind of six of one, half dozen of the other. And Joel Embiid can make free throws like crazy. He's an 83% free throw shooter. It's sick what he can do to people when he decides to do it. And yesterday, because it was Giannis in his building, he said, okay, watch this. And what did he say right after the game in his interview? He said, I just wanted to make a statement that I want to be defensive player of the year.
Well, good luck.
Is that not music to the ears of Brett Brown, his coach?
Good luck. AD way ahead of you in that category.
Okay, buddy. But I don't think he's way ahead when Joel decides to play defense, and he wanted to show up Giannis yesterday.
Skip, you
did he not show him up?
Skip.
Boy, Giannis went 8 for 27.
Skip.
Yikes.
Skip, you know how this works. You can't say, well, when he wants to play. How can you say a guy's
okay,
the best
I'm just,
when he
I'm
has
just
zero
saying,
points in the game?
When you see it, you just say, aha, there it is. I can't explain the rest of it. Maybe he's just not born to be that guy.
Okay.
Maybe he doesn't have that.
So he disqualified.
That set of intangibles.
If you score, if you play a game in which you play 25 plus minutes and you score 0 points, you're disqualified.
Okay. All right, and his points are down by 5. He's averaging 23. He was 28 last year because they added Al Horford, and obviously they lost some shooters, some distance scoring, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden the lane is getting more and more clogged. But yesterday he said, I'm not going to worry about that. Just give me the ball and get out of my way. And you saw what happened. So again, he deserves an honorable mention here.
Okay.
Now we get to the argument.
Yep.
Okay, Giannis is sitting atop PER because he owns PER, the player efficiency rating. Okay, so he's 1 and Luka's 2 and James Harden is 3. And then it goes AD, LeBron, Joel, and Kawhi.
Okay.
So those are the top 8 right in a row. But Giannis is going to own it because he's going to put up just insane numbers.
He's
going to
be 30 and 13.
Okay, he's just going to do it.
Yeah.
Except we saw what happened to him in the conference finals last year. And I saw what happened to him yesterday, which was the flip side of what happened on that Thursday night last week when your Lakers visited Milwaukee, because that was his turn to say, not in my house. Mm-hmm. And he showed up, LeBron and AD, right?
Yeah.
Well, I still don't trust Giannis to be that guy in that moment because he turns right around in Philadelphia and just no-shows.
Hey, guess what, Skip? Remember against the Lakers, he's 5 of 7 from the three.
He was a career-high five.
And yesterday, he was 0 for 7.
Okay, so I think that was closer to the real Giannis yesterday.
Yes.
Which brings me back to Kawhi Leonard, once my favorite player in San Antonio until he quit on my team.
He's back again.
He's back in good graces. I can't call him my favorite player, but all I know is this. He was the MVP of last year's finals. LeBron James, not in the playoffs last year.
Okay.
And all I know, there have been 2 games of the year so far in the NBA. I think you would agree with that. Am I right? I mean, okay, everybody agrees it's Lakers, Clippers, Clippers, Lakers. It's 1-2-2-1, 1-2-2-1, right? This is it. And they have met twice because they share the building, so it's been 1 Clipper home game, 1 Laker home game. Who dominated both games? Kawhi Leonard. Who was better than AD or LeBron in both the games? Kawhi Leonard was. Both ends of the floor, he was better than both of them.
But you do realize in yesterday's game, both players scored 11 points in the fourth quarter.
Okay, but LeBron down the stretch last 6:39 scored 1 point and missed the other free throw, which was a crucial free throw on the scoreboard, right? Well, who just kept scoring? Who kept making defensive plays? It was clear Kawhi Leonard was the best player on the floor both nights from start to finish. He set the tone in both games. He scores 30 the first night. He scored 35 last night. Against the Lakers in the 2 games, he's 17 of 18 from the free throw line. LeBron's not. What more do you need? On the biggest stages in the biggest games, this guy keeps saying, I'm the best player on the planet, and I got to give him that today. He earned it last night.
So hold on. So I don't understand how we can say a guy that's missed 6-7 games because of load managing. Now, if you say he's that defensive guy, I just saw Russell Westbrook a week ago go get 40. I saw James Harden go get 47. And I saw him get another 37. So where is that defense that I'm seeing?
Okay, what I keep telling you. He's been load managing since his second year in San Antonio. He doesn't care about those games. He cares about statement games, and he cares about May and June.
Skip, that's it. End of story. Skip, I looked it up. Greg Popovich has stole a game here and there. This didn't really come into our vocabulary until Pop started resting his key guys in national televised games. If you look at Tim Duncan was playing 78, 80, 82 ball games. He didn't start load managing until he got into his late 30s. Even at 37, he played 75 games. Same thing with Tony Parker. Manu played, I think, 75 or 76 games at 37. Kawhi is 25, 26. So this load management has to do with age. Kawhi's in his 20s.
Okay, but it's just how he functions. It's just, and I think Uncle Dennis has had a lot to do with it because Uncle Dennis has encouraged him. Just tell him no. Just tell him you're not going to play. What are they going to do?
They're not going to cut you. Here's the thing. Look, we know that superstars in basketball has more clout, has more cachet than any other professional sport. Maybe, I don't know, maybe no. Messi or Ronaldo.
No, but I agree with you. Yeah. They do.
Skip, Tom Brady can't go to Mr. Kraft and get Bill Belichick fired.
No.
LeBron, Giannis, Kawhi, they can go to this and get you up out of it, and you're gone.
I would agree.
So if he says, Skip, that's why they can say, look, I want my entourage to be on the plane. And guess what the entourage is going to be? You think Tom Brady can get his entourage? He might be able to get the trainer, but he ain't getting dad. He ain't getting girlfriend. These players, if they want their girlfriend, significant other to be on the team charter, guess who's going to be on the team charter sitting there with a player?
Okay.
And the baby. Because that's what Toronto did. Toronto acquiesced and had Toronto's significant other and the baby on the flight.
Okay. And what's the payoff? A championship.
Skip, if you got that kind of leverage, but here's the thing. In other words, in order for this to be successful, you got to win the championship every year. Did Pop win the championship every year? Because the first 4 years, there was no such thing as load management. Load management didn't come into existence until 2014.
Okay, but it's this guy, and he keeps backing it up.
But Skip, he was injured early on. Okay. There was no load management. He was injured. He wouldn't even play with a thumbnail or a splinter. Okay,
we got to put quotes around those injuries. There's a lot of Jordan, Bird, Magic, they just played through those. Because that was the time. That's what you did.
But Skip, some guys... You got to be strong mentally to be able to play with injury or a lingering injury or hurt and still go out there and perform. Well, he doesn't feel that if I can't be 100%, I ain't going out there. But it's going to be very few times, Skip, that after the first game that you're going to be 100%.
Okay, but if he showed you mental weakness in a big stage game, I'd say, look at this. This is demonstrating that he just doesn't have a basketball backbone. But he does. And look what LeBron has done. And there's been two statement games this year at Staples. LeBron now in those two games is 3-for-17 from three. It's horrendous. He's only 16-of-43 from the field. For a guy who's the greatest driver of the basketball ever, that's 37% from the field?
But Skip, that's Popovich's theory. Back off. You remember, even if you're 2 feet away, back up even further. Dare him to shoot the jump shot or the three ball. Because if he's going to make that consistently, we got no chance. Because I'm telling you what's going to happen if we hug up on him, he's going to go by us, lay the ball up, get into the lane, a kick, or drop it off. We don't want that. If he can make threes, if he can make 20-footers, Skip, you got to live with something.
I agree with that because my lingering memory of Pop on the sideline in the 2013 finals, which the Spurs should have won because they were up. Is Pop going like this when LeBron had the ball at the top of the circle? Just get off him. Get off him. Let him shoot that. He can't make that shot.
And what happened in game 7 when Kawhi, that top of the key?
Game 6, LeBron James LeBricked the shot that should have lost the game. He LeBricked it.
Hold on, what about Kawhi free throw? Mm. That could have won the game. Kawhi'd it, kaboom. Mm. And what about Manu?
He was like 18 years old.
He 18.
Well, he was a baby.
Kawhi finishes last night with a plus minus rating of 13. LeBron, 3.
Other starter? Was there any other starter that had a plus? Mm. AD was minus 10. Mm. Skip, think about it. The other three starters, JaVale, Danny Green, and Avery Bradley, combined for 10 points. Mm. Skip, we can't win like that, bro.
I thought you loved your supporting cast.
Skip.
I thought you loved your cast.
But here's the thing. I do. But that don't mean you get a night off just because I love you.
Your bench outscored the Clippers bench last night. And it didn't work. It didn't matter.
Skip, there's certain things. Look, if I got a girl and she cooking and she doing things, I would love her. But that don't mean you stop. Keep them things when I come home. Have that plate ready.
I'm going to save you from yourself and wrap on this.
Thank you.
Let's leave that there.
Just for the record, Ernestine does not cook, and I love her.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself. You can't cook either.
She
can cook. You just don't want her to cook.
I don't care.
What? Woo. No mercy.
Safe to say the NBA world is eagerly anticipating the debut of Zion Williamson. After tearing his meniscus during the preseason, Zion had surgery in October. He has now started doing individual drills, but no group scrimmages yet. Shannon, how do you think the Pelicans should deal with Zion's return?
I think they're doing it right, taking it slow. I wouldn't be opposed to him sitting down for the entire year, Skip. Mm. I read where they're trying to change the way he walks and change the way he runs. Mm-hmm. Just think about that. You've been doing something your entire life, and they say, you know what? We're going to change the way you do that. The way you walk is just natural. The way you run is just natural. Skip, look. Big young men normally become big old men. Hmm. Zion Williamson is pretty close to 300 pounds. I don't care what anybody tells you, they can list his weight, whatever they want to list it as. Mm. But when you tear your knee and you can't exercise, Skip, when you like that, his weight has gone up. I will give him a set number that he needs to get at before he's able to get back on the court. And Skip, if he can't reach that number, Skip, he's too heavy. He's going to have these problems if he does not get his weight under control. I'm sorry. He's 19 and 300. What 19-year-old at 300 pounds all of a sudden become 25 and be 245? Mm. That doesn't happen, Skip. He's got to get his weight under control. I don't know if he has a chef and personal trainers on his own, but he needs to get that. Mm. I'm thinking that his mom, because what happens, a lot of these guys, they bring their parents to live with them. Skip, he needs to have a full-time chef, and he needs to put him on a regimen, Skip. He's too heavy. Mm. It's as simple as that.
Yep. All great points. But on this issue, I'm going to defer to Jen Hale because she covers this team and she knows the GM, David Griffin, very well. What are you hearing?
His return is closing in. We're getting close. They can see light at the end of the tunnel, for lack of a better term. To Shannon's point about his weight, the vice president of player care, Aaron Nelson, he did want to redistribute how that torque affects his body. How does that weight come down on the knees and the ankles and the joints? So as long as he was having to recover from this meniscus surgery and be out, why not take advantage of that opportunity to change those mechanics, to make it so that he can endure a long season?
Hard to do, to your point.
Play 82 games.
Because think about it, Skip. When you go up, you just come down naturally. You go up, you don't like, okay, I need to make sure my weight is distributed through my quads, to take it through my glute muscle. Mm-hmm. Skip, a lot of his weight is from the waist down.
Yeah,
He's basically Cam Jordan for the New Orleans Saints, the defensive lineman. That's what he is, Skip. He's 287, and I guarantee you Zion Williamson outweighs him.
Okay. So the only analogy I can make is when I first started running distance instead of sprints.
Right.
You have to learn to run on the balls of your feet instead of your toes. The plantar fasciitis is horrendous.
Right.
So you can do that, but that's a small mechanical change as opposed to a gait change and all that.
You're going heel to toe when you run for distance as opposed to just straight balls of your feet and sprinting.
But in this case, I'm starting to wonder, to your point, if they should shut him down. But then if you shut him down, it's like, can you rob Peter to pay Paul? Because you still have to keep his weight down if you shut him down. And I don't know if he's capable of that at this stage and age.
Right.
So I love this kid. It's taken a piece out of the whole NBA. They were on last night for a reason. They were the last game of the night because it was the Zion game at Denver. And that would have been a pretty good matchup, right?
Yes.
Well, I'm missing him. We're all missing him. And I want to see him, and I'd like to see him slowly but surely ease back into learning how to play NBA basketball, because I think he's going to be great. You think he's going to be pretty good. But I want to see it, but I'm not sure. Look, the knee surgery it was minor. It wasn't a major reconstruction. So a lot of people can come back, as I told you, like Michael Gallup on my team. I told you on that meniscus tear, which is what he had.
Right.
You can come back in 2 weeks, and Michael Gallup came back in 2 weeks and never looked back, right?
But here's the thing, Skip. Yep. Michael Gallup is 210.
I know. He's kind of a lean 210.
And that's the thing, Skip. Yeah. And he's not, just think about 300 pounds going up and down. Charles Barkley said he weighed 280 and he needed to get down to 250, 260.
Yep.
Well, this kid is above that. So what do you think and he's even more explosive than Chuck was. Skip, I mean, we had never seen anything like Charles Barkley, a man that size that can move like that, could jump like that. Well, this guy is Charles Barkley on steroids, pardon the pun. I mean, not he's on steroids, but he's even more explosive than Charles Barkley.
I agree.
But Skip, when you have a surgery, the one thing that you can't do is condition. What are you going to do, Skip? So now he lost all the condition that he could have gotten by practicing and playing in games. Mm-hmm. He lost all that. Because remember, he missed the last, two, three games preseason. Mm-hmm. So he missed some in summer league. So he missed summer league, and he missed two games.
Played for 2 minutes of summer league.
Right, and they shut it down to that, and then he missed the last two games of the preseason.
Yep.
So, Skip, he's got to get that. Skip, get his weight down. Say, son, we're going to give you a target weight of this.
I would agree.
Get your weight to here, and we'll let you play.
Yep, I agree.
Barring any setback, they are not looking at shutting him down, but we will see.
Yes.
We will see. Time will tell.
I just want the best for the young man.
Mm-hmm.
As does everybody. He's a great guy.
Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Monday for another week of Undisputed. We'll see you then.
Facts. Sports. One of one.